This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Lisa, and to my right is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about some farming concepts. And actually, it is the parable of the sower and the seeds. Jesus tells a story in the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and John, right? Or no, Luke. And I got that mixed up. And so it's in all of those, and you can see those in each one of them. It's really the same story, same principle that they all tell. But Lisa's going to read that, and then we're going to kind of unpack that, and we're going to be reading out of Mark chapter 4.
Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear."
So what I think is really interesting, and I think is maybe lost in our context, is I'm not a farmer. I don't know about you. Are you guys farmers? You grew like tomatoes or something.
Yeah, you have a garden, so.
But it's not like you sow seeds like they sowed seeds. It's not like I'm like Johnny Appleseed and like with a bag outside of my, you know, on my shoulder walking around throwing seeds how they did in the first century in a field. They didn't plow the ground. They didn't do that type of stuff at the same level that we do. And so they were just throwing seeds. And so seeds could go anywhere and the wind would blow them. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really know all the farming concepts within that. What's the best? Have you ever farmed? Have you ever gardened?
I mean, my parents had a garden. My grandparents had a garden. I've got some farmers in my family line, but I don't know. It seems like the best way is to get the tractor out and disc up the field, and then you've got those seed planters that just punch them down in there.
Yeah.
That'd be my mode of farming. I want to drive a combine.
Yeah, I wonder how the parable would change in today's culture. Probably wouldn't tell farming stories.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, no. Mm-mm. But it's interesting in the sense that the seed falls on in different places. The seed falls on different grounds. And we can kind of understand that. Like you can't plant something on the sidewalk and have it grow unless it's like that Miracle-Gro stuff on TV that you can see and you water it and it grows. You can't plant stuff in rocky soil. You can't plant stuff in places where there's tons of weeds, all of those things. And, you know, the best place is, as you said, to till it up, get it all nice and fertile for it to grow. And when that happens. But why is Jesus, he's talking to many people. Why do you guys think he's kind of telling them this story?
Well, it's likely there were a lot of farmers in that group of people that he was talking to. So one, he can use something that relates to them, something that they would understand. And it's interesting because Jesus does a lot of teaching through telling parables or these short stories that just have some familiarity with the people. And I think he really uses that method to kind of try to compel them to think about it at a little bit of a deeper level of what he's saying. And I think the beauty behind it is that he really wants us to understand his heart in this and not just the story, right? I think that's kind of the push to his style of teaching of using parables, because a lot of these people would have been, you would have commoners in the mix. You would have still had some of your religious elites as you read through the Gospels and see his interactions with them and his conversations with them. But I think he really is a guy that is trying to relate to the heart of the people that are there.
He says something about let those who have ears hear. Why do you think he is communicating in that way?
I mean, I think there's a couple of reasons why he's communicating that way. One, he's telling a story, and the story that he's telling is a little bit obscure. It seems to come in the middle of a conversation that has nothing to do with farming. And so in that regard, when he says, let him who has ears, let him hear, he's asking them to read in between the lines or understand something different about their context and what he might be trying to communicate with the story or beyond that. But then also that harkens back to what the prophets would say, right? God would speak through the prophets saying things like, you don't have ears to hear and you don't have eyes to see. And Jesus arrives and he's the one who calls people back to their senses in some way. And so he's asking people to be attentive to the word of God in a way that's much like the prophets of the Old Testament.
Yeah, you put it way more eloquently than I would have. When I read those, I'm thinking of when my mom was talking to me as a kid. Is like, you better listen up instead of just letting it be the background noise of, you know, I hope my mom's not listening, but wah, 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 like the peanuts. Yeah. It's like, hey, pay attention to what I just said. It was really important. There's more to it than what I'm just saying. Like, you need to listen.
Well, I think there's also, like, he's talking to the disciples and he's talking to people who are going to be proclaiming the good news of who he is. And I think that part of it's interesting also, that there are going to be people who understand and hear and listen, and it grows and it becomes something that is fruitful in their lives. And there are going to be people who they get excited about it and all the pleasures of this world, all the weeds of this world are going to kind of drown it out because the weeds are going to get in the way. And then there's going to be other people where it's, you know, rocky. It's just, you know, it might spring up just a little bit, but it's just not good soil for it. And then there's just other people where it's just going to get snatched away. They're not going to hear. They're not going to listen. But the same proclaimer, same person is proclaiming the good news of Jesus. But it falls on people's ears differently. It falls on people's hearts in a different way. I think it was John Wesley who was talking about this, who is a, you know, great part of the Reformation, part of just helping people to meet, know, and follow Jesus. But he was talking about this, and he was talking about this idea that this parable was given in order that they would not only communicate to the hearers, but also communicate to those who are the speakers of it. Like, you need to understand that this is how this is going to go, but you keep proclaiming. And the farmer, he didn't go, oh man, I'm just going to throw this out. Oh crud, that's going over there. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to continue to do this because there are some people who are going to hear and they're going to respond to the good news. And I think that's an important part of what Jesus is talking about here, is the reality that people will hear the gospel, that Jesus, that he lived, he died, and he rose again, and you and I are in need of a savior. And they'll hear that message, and they won't respond to it. They won't respond properly to it.
Which doesn't mean that they should stop doing it.
Right. The speaker still needs to speak.
The speaker still needs to speak. And I mean, you can look at this in different contexts. That could be, you know, your pastors. That could be your Sunday school teachers. But I think that falls on the shoulders of all believers. We're called to proclaim Jesus to our circles of influence, our circles of friends, the relationships that we have. And really, it's not up to us. I mean, the soil, like, that's people's hearts. And whether God's working in there, or they're allowing him to, or they've hardened their hearts, or whatever that looks like, we're still supposed to go and scatter the seed and leave the soil work up to the Lord.
Yeah, I think that there is also a different growth rate, right? If you've ever gardened before, like, some of my plants do like really, really well quickly. And part of it is it's just the right time, the right moment, the right amount of light, the right amount of water. And then there's other plants that just they may struggle just a little bit in the midst of that, but it's still just being faithful to the proclamation of it.
Well, it's like this year I know was hard for some of the guys and gals that I know that garden, and like tomatoes didn't hit until late this year. And then when they came like crazy, and the same with peppers, but that didn't mean that they stopped tending to their garden throughout the year. They were still making sure it had water and fertilizer and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the parable also goes back to God's heart. Mm-hmm. God's heart is that everyone would know who he is. God's heart is that all would repent and be saved. And it's this generosity of heart. He doesn't do it like we do modern day. Like, there is no, well, maybe there are. I don't actually know this because I'm not a farmer, but there's no farmer that's making any money. How about that? That scatters seed that way, right? They're not, they do it how you said, like, They're tilling up the field. They're planting it very precisely. I was down this summer with a guy who all he does is he maps out the field and he tells them what like regiment to control the weeds and stuff. And he makes lots and lots of money doing this. It's a bizarre business in the middle of, you know, in the middle of lower Michigan. And it's a very bizarre business, but it's all about efficiency. And the generosity of God isn't about efficiency. The generosity of God is about just giving. And he wants to continue to spread this seed. He wants to continue for people to have this opportunity to meet, know, and follow his son and to save everyone. And so he says, hey, man, those of you who can hear, you should hear this because this is really good stuff.
Well, that just reminds me, we were down on a trip to North Dakota and it was harvest time and we were talking to some farmers there. And one, the price of a combine would blow your mind. It's pushing $1 million. But those things are like running a NASA space shuttle. And all the controls and things that they have on board and they're in their computer systems, like from the time that they do their tilling, like you said, they're doing all kinds of calculations. They're testing soil. They're figuring out how to make it have the best nutrients. They're cycling crops from year to year so that those can replenish the soil. And it's not just a random happenstance thing. Like, they're very intentional about it. And I think when we think about our sharing of the gospel, it's got to be very intentional. You know, we can see people in a different way or we have a different relationship with them. And like, we might run into some of those hard soil people. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we don't continue to have a relationship with them and foster trust and build that up that we can continue to spread the seed. And you might run into people, you know, God may have them in your life for a season where their hearts are just ripe to hear the good news. And you see that, I mean, we see that in church here, we see that in youth group, we see that across the board, like everybody's at a different place and their heart's at a different readiness, so to speak, to really let the seed take root.
Yeah, I'm just stuck on that idea of generosity. Like, mm-hmm. Redemption is a picture of generosity. It's this interesting, I think, abundant generosity of God that brings us in. And if you're a child of God, then you're called to be generous. And it's not just for the other people that are the people of God. It actually is a picture of who our God is.
Well, in some ways, just going with the idea of generosity, God in this picture of the sower is maybe reckless with his seeds, right? I mean, he's walking along. It doesn't say that he's tending the soil. It doesn't say that he's going out there testing it and doing all of the things that we were just talking about. He's scattering it, and where it falls, it falls. It's as if he has so much of it that he's just throwing it out quite liberally, actually. And he knows what the soil is. He knows what it's going to produce, but he is generously scattering the seed. And that's a beautiful picture of God's care and love for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that there's just something just fascinating about that part of it, is that generosity. And like, how does that apply to us? What does that look like for us to be a people of God who are generous? And not just in going, hey, I want to share the gospel with you, but what does it look like for me to be generous for the mission of God to continue to move forward? And, you know, I think when we are generous to God's people, and then it does something that for his mission. It's not just the generosity toward God's people, it's generosity towards the mission. So the proclamation of the gospel is like, I remember doing youth ministry and we'd have all these kids come in and they're all there. And I'm like, man, these knuckleheads aren't going to respond to the gospel. Well, we didn't stop sharing the gospel. We kept sharing the gospel. Because it's not mine to really choose in the midst of that. And some of them, I was right. They didn't respond to the gospel. But there are others that I did not even understand or didn't even see that did respond to the gospel in a real way and really said, man, I need Jesus in my life. I need him to be. And I think that's part of this, is our responsibility in the mission is to be as generous as possible in the spreading of the good news of Jesus.
And you pointed this out already, that it's not just in the proclamation of the gospel, but in our generosity as believers to other people. And I think that goes a long way. Like the things that we can do for our neighbors. I think of neighbors that I've had throughout the different places that I've lived in my lifetime. And like when you go out of your way and do something generous for somebody, even the crankiest person, that opens up a door that wasn't there before. That softens some of their heart posture, so to speak. And you can start to have more of those conversations, or you find out, you know, more about what's going on in their life and what they're struggling with. And then it makes sense why they're cranky and crabby, but then you can speak life into them, right?
Why they're cranky and crabby.
I mean, sometimes you find those things out, you know, they're going through a hardship, lost a job or a sick spouse or grandparents or parents that they're caring for that we just didn't know until we were generous with our time or our help or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that there's this idea in the proclamation that it's always like, you know, we share the four spiritual laws and
get off your track.
Yeah, and I think those are good. I think those are helpful, but somebody has to be pretty close to understanding. But the generosity of God doesn't make sure that you know exactly. I remember working again with these youth kids, and a lot of them came from just broken homes. I you know, like drugs and alcohol were a part of this. And I remember just being like, there is no way, God, that you're going to save these kids. There's just no way. Like so little faith. Like I was kind of stingy with the gospel. And God kept saying, no, just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Keep saying it and spraying it, Levi, because that's your job. And that for me was a really eye-opening thing that I don't know who has ears to hear. And we don't know who has ears to hear. And so we continue to proclaim, we continue to say that our God is great. And as we're generous with each other and with the world in the midst of that, I think that there's something, as you said, like maybe it's generosity of time, but maybe it's just generosity of goods. Jesus talks about that a little bit. I think he talks about that more than he talks about any other sins, is like the sin of money, like possessions, mm-hmm. those types of things. I think when we understand that he is our security and he is the one that brings meaning and he is the one that loves us and all of those things, it produces a life of generosity. It produces a heart of generosity.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can be soil testers, but that's not really what we're called to be, right? We're called to be scatterers. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
No, that's good. That whole idea of being soil tester. I want to be a soil tester because I'm like, right. I ain't working that hard for it to say it and spray it if you're not going to listen. Good golly. And that's not how our God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, that is some good news that you can use, and just be faithful to the gospel. If you don't know who Jesus is yet, we want to encourage you to open the book of Mark and begin to read it. If you know Jesus and you're a little nervous about saying and spraying the gospel, there's lots of great helps on the internet to help you in that, but also just know that God's faithful in the midst of that, and just trust that he is with you in the midst of that, that as you scatter the seeds of the good news of who Jesus is, that he is there with you in the midst of that. And let him determine what's going to grow and what's not.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you guys have any questions or comments, or there's a topic that you'd like us to cover, we would love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes on good news you can use, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform, and you can always go to evangelup.org.